Very interesting weekend across the National Football League. A lot of results to get into. And like I said, I think this weekend was a relatively defining weekend for a lot of teams around the National Football League. Perhaps none more so than the New York Football Giants. The Giants apparently have decided it's time to make a change. The New York Giants are going to put Danny Dimes on the bench. And where are we going? Tommy DeVito! Hey, Tommy DeVito is back. The NFL, it's just about to get better, is all it comes down to. The Giants are about to get better. The NFL is about to get better when Tommy DeVito is a member. Mainly because I just get to pretend that he's a character on The Sopranos who happened to make his way to the NFL. Huh? He's going to end up meeting Christopher. He's going to end up meeting Tony. They're going to have some conversations about offensive strategy, offensive concepts. I can't wait to see. What is Sal going to have to say about Tommy? I can't wait. The Giants have the Buccaneers coming up this weekend. They were on the bye this week, as well as the Carolina Panthers after taking that overtime L to the Cats last weekend. The Giants have lost five in a row, including the Bengals, Eagles, Steelers, Commanders, and Patriots. Excuse me, Panthers. So they turn to Tommy DeVito. That, according to Adam Schefter, as of just mere minutes ago. Yeah, we can define that team as a failure. The Dallas Cowboys, we'll find out tonight. I mean, I right now, I don't know how you go against the Texans. They are a 7-point favorite over Dallas tonight. If you're into that sort of thing and you're the type of person who puts change down, Houston minus 7, grab it before it goes to 7.5, because it will. Get it while the hook's out of play, and we'll see how that plays out. Total's only at 41.5, which tells me that not much is expected out of the Dallas offense tonight. And I wouldn't be shocked if that under's in play even at 41.5. Most of the games hang out around 44 to 48. This one at just 41.5. Very, very interesting number. We'll find out what the Cowboys are tomorrow after they play the Texans tonight. But let's look around some of the rest of the scores from the weekend. Eagles knock off the Commanders. I was very high on the Commanders. I got a ticket out that they win the NFC East. And I'm not giving up on that yet. But it feels to me like maybe the preseason excitement, maybe the excitement generated by Jaden Daniels and the start that he had to the season, maybe that's off the apple a little bit. Or is it the flip side of that coin? And I do think it's a healthy combination of both. Maybe the Eagles just are good. Maybe the Eagles just had a crap start to the season, but they're 8-2. Like, even if you say a bad start to the season, yeah, they took two L's in the first 4 weeks. Both to the NFC South, the Falcons and the Buccaneers. But they reeled off six straight. Now, again, not the most impressive six straight. And this is why I think it's a mix of both. The Browns, the Giants, the Bengals, the Jags, the Cowboys, and the Commanders. It's not exactly a who's who of Super Bowl contenders, but it is the NFL. It is hard to win that many in a row. And the Eagles have done it. So I think it's a little mix. I do think there's been a step back for Washington. I do think there's been a step forward for Philly. What about the Browns and the Saints? 35-14 is your final in that one. Look, I've been saying the whole time, Dennis Allen's a problem. I don't think Dennis Allen's a bad guy by any stretch of the imagination. But that football team clearly had no belief in, faith in, confidence in Dennis Allen as a leader. Dennis Allen's gone. Darren Rizzi's won two in a row. It looks like a different team. Granted, it took 21 points in the fourth quarter to break that thing open to a 14-35 game for New Orleans. But there are games gone by where that fourth quarter wouldn't have happened. And you'd have been in a shootout with Jameis Winston. I mean, you still were. He put up 395 yards and a pair of touchdowns. But I don't know. The Packers, they go gut the Bears. I think this says more about the Bears than the Packers. This team's just bad. Blocked field goal to end up losing it. Second blocked field goal for a loss. Jacksonville, it's a garbage team. Defined, officially. Detroit, I think Detroit's the best team in the NFL right now. And it's early, right? We still got, what, six more weeks of regular season football. 7 more weeks of regular season football. And we all know exactly what Kansas City is, as Lonzo pointed out to the folks on the stream during the break. They were never going undefeated. Nobody's going undefeated. Welcome to the NFL in 2024. You will never see another season-long, wire-to-wire undefeated team ever again. It's not going to happen. But, right now, if we lined up those two teams, I think Detroit's a 10.5-point favorite. They're the best team in the NFL. Vikings 23, Titans 13, Dolphins 34-19 over the Raiders. And they're 4-6. Like, they look more like the old Dolphins, but this said more about how, I mean, the Raiders are garbage, man. Like, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think the Carolina Panthers are the worst team in the NFL anymore. I think the Vegas Raiders are at this point. And I don't know how to fix them. I mean, I do. It's the same with the Dallas Cowboys. The owner's got to go. Problem is, owner ain't going to go, so what do you do? I don't know. Rams gut one out over the Patriots, 28-22. Again, I'm not, like a lot of people last week going into this week, oh, the Rams are back. I'm not ready to go there. By the way, 28-22, and it took a gut catch from Puka Nacua to get them there, to gut out a win over the Patriots, who, by the way, also are not the worst team in the NFL, as I thought they were going to be. 28-27, Colts over the Jets. A little bit of both. I mean, Anthony Richardson, I asked Hayden Asmario last Thursday, I'm like, do you think that Anthony Richardson had the opportunity to actually learn on the bench? He said no, I disagreed. I'm like, yeah, I mean, listen, sometimes that's the type of thing it takes to get the wheels spinning, and it did. And also, the Jets are bad at 3-8. They're cooked. They're done. 18-16, Steelers beat the Ravens. We're going to talk more about the other games on the schedule coming up here in just a couple of minutes, but when we come back to college football, back to the Clemson Tigers, John Blau covers the Tigers for the Post and Courier. He joins us every Monday around 8:35 to talk Clemson football. We will talk Tiger athletics in the dub over the Pitt Panthers when we come back. Lonzo's on the ones and twos, making the show sound as good as it does. I am Rob Brown. We're back with John Blau after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Every Monday morning at this time, we welcome into the show a reporter who covers the Clemson Tigers for the Post and Courier. Joins us now on the phone lines. He is John Blau. Happy Monday, John. How we doing, big dog?
Doing good. How are you, Rob?
I'm exceptional. Thank you very much. Appreciate it as always, my man. Let's dive right in as we always do. Clemson obviously gets a, let's say, exhilarating win over the Pitt Panthers on the road. We knew going in that Clemson, if they wanted to keep their outside looking in shot at an ACC title game appearance on the line, they had to win. If they wanted to keep their opportunity at an at-large playoff bid alive, they had to win this game. And win this game, they do, maybe a little bit closer than we would have liked for a team that style points certainly can't hurt the team right now. What's your 30,000-foot view with a couple of days in the back pocket to look at this team in this game?
Yeah, I mean, a win's a win. All's well that ends well, I guess. I mean, it obviously was very ugly in that second half. I think they were getting outgained something like 215 yards to 27 before that. That final drive by, Kay Klubnik, that 50-yard touchdown run. So that just a lot of question marks about the offense just in terms of how up and down they've been. I think Dabo Swinney yesterday was even talking about he didn't really feel like the play calls or what they were doing offensively was really giving their playmakers a chance to, make plays in that second half. Almost lose to a team that's starting its backup quarterback, who was, I think, Nate Yarnell was 4-12 against Virginia the week before. So a little alarming that they almost lost that game, but to have the resilience to, kind of shove aside all the bad stuff that happened in that second half and put a drive together and have a big play from Kay Klubnik to win it. It's better to win it at the end than to lose it. So, like you said, keep alive those outside, hopes of getting in the ACC title game, maybe the college football playoff. But yeah, definitely a little bit of a shakiness there that they're going to have to kind of shake off here down the stretch.
Talk to me about the play calling. We've gone back and forth, and I've floated the thought in the past that maybe Dabo stayed involved in the play calling alongside Garrett Riley, maybe in some spots even kind of took it over. We have seen him hovering around the huddle the last couple of games. If he had complaints about the play calling. Do you think it was specifically about Riley's play calling, or was that just kind of a more broad view about an offense that really kind of never took off in the second half?
Yeah, I mean, I would think if he's saying that he didn't like some of the choices, that it would be that he didn't make those choices and he's kind of second-guessing them at the end of the day. And you talk about him hovering a little bit. Maybe that is a little bit of anxiousness from Dabo in terms of wishing some things were done differently, and maybe he had inserted himself a little bit more in some places. It's not very specific as to what he was talking about. He didn't go into detail. But I mean, if you look at, you know, a guy like Antonio Williams had 113 yards in the first half and then ended up with 149, I think. So not as active in the second half, and obviously running the ball. You had the offensive line issues. So you wonder how much that impacted things, but to only get Maffa for 17 yards on 17 carries, not very good. But yeah, I mean, it sounds like Dabo is second guessing some decisions that were made. And I'm sure he'll speak with his staff about those, and they'll try to get them corrected. But what exactly they are, he wasn't very specific about that.
Yeah, and you mentioned Phil Maffa and the lack of production. And this comes in a week where Dabo had multiple times last week pointed out Phil Maffa and the production that he's been able to generate and how big of a piece he's been in this offense. Do you attribute that to a banged-up offensive line? Was it just not enough carries? I mean, he had 17 touches in this game. I know some of his bigger games, that number's been up closer to 25. Is there anything specific you attribute the disappearance of Phil Maffa in this game to?
Yeah, it's hard to overly, you know, blame either play calling or whatever when you have an offensive line that shifted four out of its five pieces after the first play of the game. I mean, you got Walker Parks playing a right tackle. That's the first time in 3 years. You got Blake Miller playing left tackle for the first time in his college career. You obviously flipped the one guard, Harris Sewell, to the right, and then Trent Howard to the left. And, you know, trying to have continuity in that situation is difficult. But at the same time, you know, you look at some of the play calls. I mean, that fourth down play call, I don't know why you're running a toss to the boundary where there's not really much room for Phil Maffa to get around Pitt's defense. I don't know if that's maybe one of the things that Dabo is a little frustrated by. You know, it felt like some of the play calls, specifically that one, maybe there could have been some different schemes used that could have made it easier for the offensive line to get some things going. You know, whether you simplify things or you run it in a different direction. Maybe there was something there that Dabo saw in film that we kind of were just running right into the teeth of Pitt. I would need to go watch it a little closer, have them tell me what to look at, because I'm not sure I would know right off the jump just from watching it. But, yeah, I mean, it's probably a combination, but I would be hesitant to overly attribute it to play calls or whatever, given the situation. With how many pieces they had to move around up front. So you have to give kind of a little bit of a caveat there.
John Blau from the Post and Courier joining us here on the Rob Brown Show, as he does every Monday at this time, to talk Clemson football. Talk to me a little bit about Cade Klubnik, 27-41, 288, a pair of touchdowns to Antonio Williams. He also had 41 total yards of rushing, of course, 50-yard touchdown to wrap that game up. There were spots to me in this game that I thought we saw the Cade Klubnik of 3 or 4 weeks ago when we were talking about a potential outside shot at a Heisman nomination. And then there were a couple of spots where maybe Cade looked like he was a little bit less confident than he has been in weeks gone by. Was that a result of anything particular on the field? Do you even agree with that take about Cade Klubnik?
Yeah, I mean, in the third quarter, I think he was 3 of 8 for 11 yards. I mean, that's not going to get it done. But in the first half, I mean, I think he was about as good as he's been in a half all year. We all obviously think of that App State game where he absolutely torched that secondary. I mean, he had a chance to have about 300 yards passing in that first half if a few drops aren't made there. Pretty much 20 of 26 for, I think, 230 yards or something like that. And half of those incompletions were drops. I mean, one to Jake Brennings still way down the field. So, you know, they had a chance to get even more in that first half. Didn't quite get it. And then, yeah, you have to wonder, again, with the offensive line, particularly on his right side. I think I saw PFF numbers that I think Walker Parks gave up like 5 pressures at right tackle, and Harris Sewell gave up 4 at right guard. I mean, that's 9 times you're getting pressured right in your face on the right side of the line. So, I mean, that makes it hard. Again, Dabo talked about play calling. Maybe they weren't doing things quite to take advantage of the coverage that Pitt was giving them. There might have been some issues there. But you have to give Clemson credit. I mean, again, started the game really well, and obviously with the mega play at the end, getting upfield on a QB draw, noticing that T.J. Moore has that Pitt defender sealed off, getting up the field, going 50 yards to the house. I think Dabo said that was the longest game-winning touchdown play that Clemson's ever had within 2 minutes. And so obviously a heroic effort there. You got to give credit for that. But again, ups and downs. But, they got a week against the Citadel to figure it out before they got South Carolina coming to town. That will be an epic showdown.
Yeah, especially considering what we've seen out of South Carolina, 3 consecutive wins over top 25 teams and seem to be a team that is developing. Let's ask about Clemson in that regard. Is this and I do think it is important, John Blau, to point out that, yeah, it was an unranked Pitt Panthers team. Yeah, they were on a 2-game losing streak. One of those 2 games was to a pretty good 1-loss SMU team. The other one was an almost inexplicable loss by less than a touchdown to Virginia. This was not a bad Pitt Panther team that you were in a dogfight with, and you gutted out a win, which I think is the most important thing. But do you feel like Clemson has regressed a little bit from where they were riding high a handful of weeks ago? And if the answer to that is yes, which if it's not, totally understand, but if it is, what would you attribute that to? Is it injuries? Is it coaching? Where kind of how are you viewing all of that right now?
Yeah, I mean, I would think you would have to say they've regressed a little bit, but again, everything goes back to the, it's not sexy to talk about, but like up front, the offensive line and the defensive lines, you've got people out. I mean, you're missing your left tackle and your left guard, and you have to move everybody around. You had a true freshman starting left tackle goes down. You look at obviously the defensive line, they got Peter Woods back. That was huge, and that helped there. But obviously you're missing DeMonte Capehart. He's a game wrecker on the interior, and you're missing Wade Wood as a linebacker. They're just missing a lot of guys. So it's hard to say that they progress in terms of how they're playing and, their confidence being gone or whatever. I mean, you're dealing with a lot of missing pieces. I think it's hard to overly state that, play calling or coaching or whatever. And like you said, Pitt, not a bad football team, obviously missing their quarterback, Eli Holstein. I think that made it a little more alarming. I think everybody thought that Yarnell kind of wouldn't be able to throw for 350 yards, and he did. And that actually might be the most concerning thing, that the secondary – giving up as many yards as they are. They were having a pretty good year, but not in that game at all. And so, that's concerning. But again, the offensive line, you get healthier, you protect Kate Klubnik better, you give him more time to operate in the pocket, the receivers start making a few more plays, stop dropping the ball, you get right back to where you want to be, even though, again, I just mentioned 1,000 things that aren't so good. So they got to fix those things. I guess, long story short, there are definitely some extenuating circumstances, but again, that South Carolina game will prove or kind of prove a lot about what Clemson is this season and kind of the trajectory of the program, so to speak.
Kate Klubnik with that 50-yard touchdown run that effectively wins the game for the Clemson Tigers. John Blau, I know this past off season, Dabo Swinney told a lot of folks, including us here on the station, that he wanted to see more out of Cade's legs. He wanted to see Cade run the ball. Don't really see a ton of design runs for Cade Klubnik. Do you think after that scampered, I know Pitt was in a prevent defense, they had guys drop back to the goal line, and it opened up the field a little bit, but do you think we'll see a little bit more out of the legs of Cade Klubnik now that he showed that he can go on a scamper like that one?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've seen it. I mean, you've been going back a week earlier. I mean, the amazing play he made, kind of rolling out of that cornerback blitz of Virginia Tech and hitting T.J. Moore down the field. That was a designed QB draw. I mean, they're running, QB draw and plays like that for him all the time. And so, I mean, he's proven it. He's almost doubled his rushing yards from last year. I think he was at 180-something last year. He's at over 340 now. And so he showed he can do it. I mean, he's an effective, runner. He has more contact balance now than he used to. Obviously, when he first got to Clemson, he was like 180 pounds, and now he's 210, and he runs with a little more authority now. I, I think that's something that they've been doing or can continue to do. It stresses defenses in a way that obviously helps him. It helps Phil Mafah. It makes you a little more multidimensional. So, yeah, we'll definitely see it. It's definitely a way that he's improved. And, yeah, that 50-yard touchdown, that was a big-time play. He kind of showed off the speed that he's always had. And I think he was like a 100-meter, 200-meter guy in high school and track as well. So, always been fast and still is.
John Blau covers the Clemson Tigers for the Post and Courier. You can find him on X at John_Blau, B-L-A-U. Joins us every Monday at 8:40 to talk Tiger football. My man, John, great to have you, buddy. Appreciate you stopping by. As always, we'll talk to you a week from now, man.
Sounds good. Thanks, Rob.
You got it. John Blau from the Post and Courier talking Clemson football as they get the dub over the Pitt Panthers 24-20. It moves Clemson to 8-2 on the season. They get set to take on the Citadel this weekend in a tune-up match before they take on South Carolina in what is becoming an increasingly more important Palmetto Bowl on Thanksgiving weekend. At this point, assuming that neither one of these two teams, Carolina or Clemson, gets upset this weekend, that Palmetto Bowl could be considered a playoff eliminator. You're looking at a South Carolina team that is going to have three losses, but as we've pointed out before, you know how the committee feels about Southeastern Conference teams. You get some bonus points. It may benefit the Gamecocks. On the flip side, Clemson, with that win over a team that had just made its exit from the playoff top 25, that win's not a bad one for Clemson. Are they on the outside looking in for an at-large bid? Probably. But we had a little chaos this weekend in college football. Would Clemson, for instance, maybe be able to jump ahead of a one-loss BYU team? Possibly. Could that be enough to get them in? Possibly. But one of these two teams will see whatever fading hope they have fade completely next weekend when they square up in Death Valley. All right, we got to run to a break. When we come back here in just a minute, let's take another look up and down the college football scoreboard for everybody we haven't talked about yet and what it means as we get set for our playoff rankings to drop tomorrow night. One more look up and down the NFL scoreboard as well. All of that as we wrap up the final hour of the show. All of that after Lonzo charms you with this sports flash.
In the third quarter, the Chargers held a 21-point lead. In the fourth, they needed a 29-yard touchdown with 18 seconds left on the clock to finish off a 34-27 victory over the Cincinnati Bengals. Justin Herbert went 17 of 36 for 297 yards and two touchdowns in the win. South Carolina's women's basketball team doubled up the ECU Pirates in a 95-44 win. Chloe Kitts led the Gamecocks with 14, while Joyce Edwards and Malaysia Fulwiley each contributed to a dozen off the bench. South Carolina is 4-0 to start the season. Make sure you tune in this Friday at 7 o'clock as the Burns Rebels continue their run in the playoffs. Big win this past Friday. This week, they're taking on the Spartanburg Vikings rematch of the game earlier in the year. It's Burns versus Spartanburg right here on your home for Burns Rebels football, the Fan Upstate.